Well, I think when a horrible tragedy like this happens, I think whenever we're dealing with violent crime, there is a sense of outrage, of sadness, and of loss. But I think the important thing to focus on is any one instance shouldn't shape our overall immigration policy.
I actually almost choked on my Black Rifle coffee when I first heard that, because that's... Kane, you played a fun game. First off, welcome to the show. Dana Lash here. You guys know how to listen to the program. Yes, I'm in another black shirt. It's all I own. This one's slate.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. My life. You can stream it across the country. You can watch the video component, the simulcast, of Channel 347 DirecTV, all that good stuff. The discussion at YouTube. Okay, so Katie Porter, Kane was playing a game. What party is she with? I wonder. So amazing. Is she, if you had to guess, if she was a Democrat or Republican, what would you guess Katie Porter's party affiliation is? Is she a Democrat, maybe perhaps an independent? Or is Katie Porter a Republican? This is the question before you, Kane.
Well,
for no money.
Oh, no money. I thought everything was on the line.
Well, it's sure. It's you know what? We'll have some forgiveness of something. We'll take some money from someone else and give it to you.
Well,
yeah.
Whether there's no money or everything on the line, that's
your answer, sir.
That's some Democrat stuff right there.
That is correct. Yes. Ding, ding, ding. It is. She is a Democrat. You know, I mean, you just can't let this one little incident, this one dead girl. I mean, come on. I mean, let's ignore all the other dead girls. But you can't just allow this one dead girl, this one lawless, illegal alien who broke into the country. That's like saying after someone breaks into your home, well, you just can't let this one home invader just determine all of immigration policy. I mean, you can't. So your home was broken into one time. I mean, you're going to go get an alarm system? I mean, what's wrong with you? You're going to let one home break in, one home invasion determine? I mean, gosh, are you just so narrow-minded? That's Katie Porter, by the way. Again, Katie Porter, Democrat, out of California. After, that's how she characterized Laken Riley, the student in Georgia who was brutally murdered. Brutally murdered. And I don't know if you saw this story, because I feel like it's important to illustrate how bad this is. Because the left, I feel like they don't get it unless you just shove it in their face. Even then, you still don't get it. Now, remember how I said she had been brutally beaten? And I kind of figured it was this bad. New details came out yesterday evening. The illegal entrant from Venezuela. I hate how New York Post immediately goes, oh, it's a Venezuelan migrant. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. You're either here in the country legally or you're not. If I go to anywhere else on God's green earth and I enter illegally, I'm going to be arrested. That's just the way it is. I will be arrested. Bottom line, if I don't even have my documents on my person in a number of other countries, if I got stopped by the Italian police and I didn't have my documents, and I know somebody this happened to, that's their discretion. They'll detain you. You could be here illegally. They do not put up with it. So this guy is an illegal alien. That is the legal term. And it's actually the legal term in a ton of other countries. In fact, almost all of them in their own respective languages. From Venezuela. He beat her so brutally that he caved in part of her skull. Now, I just want to set the stage for you with this. The affidavits that were made public beat her so badly, he bashed her skull in, literally. In fact, the affidavit said he, quote, did commit the offense of aggravated battery when he maliciously causes bodily harm to another by seriously disfiguring her body or a member thereof by disfiguring her skull. And then he dragged her dead body to a secluded area. Her family is planning on having her funeral on Friday. And I can only imagine that the family is praying that if she is not cremated, that the it'd have to be a closed casket. It would have to be a closed casket. I attended the funeral of someone some years ago. There was in a really bad car accident, and the same thing happened. I mean, it just crushed their skull, and they had to have a closed casket. And the family had been hoping for an open one, and they were told, don't get your hopes up, because this is it's almost impossible to make that appearance ready, to not cause great, to not inflict great pain upon the loved ones during the visitation. And I can only imagine what the family has to go through, because I can only imagine, because her skull, she was beaten so badly, her skull was disfigured, that the family probably, unless they were told that this was their daughter, probably couldn't even recognize her. To cave in somebody's skull. And this guy, this didn't have to happen at all. This is the price for the open border. This is the price of Democrats' open border policy. And I hate starting off the show by being so detailed in such a manner. But seriously, when are people going to understand that this has a cost? How many college kids have to be sacrificed so that Democrats can pretend that they care about people because they just allow them to come lawlessly in the border, across the border? The same Democrats that are like, well, who's going to cook our meals? And I mean, that's what they said. Jerry Nadler, Nancy Pelosi, all of them. That's the expectation they have for the lives of the people that they are welcoming across the border in wave after wave. Doesn't that sound like people who really care? Listen to them talk. Does it sound like people who really care about the lives of those coming across the border? I feel for this family, because this didn't have to happen. This was a murder that was directly the result of someone being allowed to remain in this country, despite the fact that they had been twice arrested, despite the fact that authorities knew that they were here illegally. And yet they released them anyway, quicker than ICE could put out a detainer. I mean, it's just, it's so sad. It really is heartbreaking. Except, you know, for the people who encourage and continue this policy. Now, in the meantime, it's tomorrow that, or Thursday, that you have the president and former president who are going to be at the border. And I don't think I've heard Biden actually say one thing about this young woman who was so brutally murdered. I mean, or what about the other woman in California that had been brutally murdered, again, by an illegal alien? Or what about the young high school college athlete that had been brutally murdered, again, by an illegal alien? And then you have Katie Porter saying, well, it's just, you know, I mean, you just can't let one instance of murder. The woman that was in Kate Steinle was the one who was that individual, again, here illegally, had murdered Kate Steinle. And he had shot her in the back right through her aorta. And she was there with her dad at the paramedic or on the pier before. And he was screaming for a paramedic. They were sightseeing. She was with her dad. I mean, this is just on and on. The thing is I could sit here probably for the rest of the hour and tell you these stories of these innocent people who have been brutally murdered by people who were in the country illegally. And it's just amazing to me that they think it's just one instance, that Katie Porter can sit there with her stupid face and say that this is just one instance. And we shouldn't let one instance shape policy. You get your head bashed in once. You get your skull caved. And then you have the audacity to tell people, Katie Porter, that, oh, well, I shouldn't let this one instance determine how I'm going to think about my security and my personal space. Because that's what you're telling people. She's telling this family that their daughter doesn't matter. Well, screw your daughter and her caved in skull. That's what Katie Porter says here. What a disgusting human being. Why do they get the nastiest looking and nastiest countenanced people sitting in these elected offices. I don't think I've ever heard anything so grotesquely offensive from a sitting lawmaker than this from Katie Porter. She said, oh, the situation is tragic and it's a loss, but it's important to acknowledge that what? What is more important to acknowledge, Katie Porter? Why don't you go have another hamburger and then come back and tell us, what do you think is so important to acknowledge? This woman got her head bashed in. If I was her family, I'd be out for blood. If you want to get more vigilantism, if you want to get any vigilantism, this is the best way to do it. Because these lawmakers either better enforce the law that we taxpayers pay for them to do, or people will take care of it themselves. And I promise you, you're not going to like that last part. Especially when it's people who want to be left alone. And by God, if you're not going to help them be left alone, they're going to make it to where you leave them alone. This is ridiculous. Now, Biden says he's not copying Trump on the border visit. Did you see? He himself has not said a thing about it. He was at an ice cream parlor. He was in New York. He was on one of the stupid late night shows that apparently only people over age 100 watch. And he was getting ice cream. And a reporter asked him about the border trip. And he said he really didn't have anything else to say. He had nothing else to say. Listen to this. This was him. He's getting ice cream. He's just getting some ice cream. He's just let the man eat his ice cream.
Why did you order now this morning?
I've been planning to go Thursday. What I didn't know is my good friend apparently is gone.
And will you meet with migrants while you're there, Mr. President?
Well, I'm not going to announce ahead of time. Secret Service doesn't like me announcing exactly.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys for
Mm-hmm. The statement that they released about the murder of Lakin Riley was, quote, "We would like to extend our deepest condolences to the family and loved ones of Lakin Hope Riley. People should be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law if they are found to be guilty. Given this is an active case, we would have to refer you to state law enforcement and ICE." And that's it. That's the whole statement. That's it. Well, we know that he was guilty of violating the law, not once, not twice, not three times, because he was here illegally, caught twice, and then he had also tried to hurt a minor. So we know that for a fact already. I don't know what else they're waiting for. But you know what? It's interesting how if you have a mass casualty incident, if you have a trans Biden voting terrorist that goes out there and shoots up a Christian school full of kids, oh my gosh, don't you dare rush to judgment. That's a local law enforcement issue. That's what they usually say. Don't you dare rush to judgment. If it's someone that they think is, you know, a white male using an AR-15, oh my gosh, it's all your all's fault. If there is anything in the narrative that in any way showcases their bad policy for being exactly what it is, bad policy, then they can't comment on it. Because see, their extent of concern only extends as far as it is advantageous to them. That's how heartless these people are. Katie Porter is a disgusting meat sack. I'm just floored.
Have you ever gotten undressed only to realize that you were in front of an open window? How did that make you feel? Exposed? Vulnerable? Well, going online without using ExpressVPN is like doing that, being naked in front of a floor-to-ceiling window. And of course, there are creepers and weirdos out there who can see and record everything that you do online, even in the so-called private browsing model. So the next time that you go online in private browsing or in incognito mode, look at the fine print, because you'll see that your browsing activity is actually visible to a ton of people, like your internet provider, your school, your employer. Because when you use the Wi-Fi at work or at a hotel or, heaven forbid, an Airbnb or even at home, the owners of the Wi-Fi can see everything that you're up to. So imagine everybody getting a look at all the stuff you've ever clicked on. Like if I go to Daily Mail and I read all the celebrity trash, people will see that and they're going going to judge me when I tell them all I do is read things like Forbes or Wall Street Journal. So use ExpressVPN. It's an app that sends 100% of your traffic through their encrypted servers so your browsing history cannot be seen by anyone. It's like, you know, an actual incognito mode, you know, one that works. And ExpressVPN works on all your devices. So you can use your phone, your TV, your iPad, your computer, browse, shop, watch, download whatever you want without the entire world knowing what you're doing. I mean, I think it's important to use ExpressVPN because, you know, I care about my privacy and I'm pretty sure you do about yours as well. So make sure you protect your online activity with the VPN that I trust to keep me private. Visit expressvpn.com/Dana today. That's expressvpn.com/Dana to get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A man was mauled to death by a lion because he intentionally jumped into a zoo enclosure in India. The lion got a free meal, and we got another lesson in natural selection. Apparently, it took all of 10 minutes for the lion to go up the dude at the Zoological Park's lion enclosure. This was last Thursday. A poor lion. So they better not have done anything to the lion. They said the guy appeared to be drunk. That's no excuse. Because if they did anything to the lion, then they should do something to the person who did something to the lion. Let's see here. A California library shut. We had this already. This is an old one. New AI video tool by maker of ChatGPT has worried content creators. We've talked about this before as well. Also, the political gender grab. We've discussed this. The Border Patrol Union had slammed Biden's border visit after endorsing a megawatt spending bill, by the way. After they endorsed it, we're going to talk about this in depth because they had endorsed this bill. I'm going to read you the statement coming up because it's a little bit long, but I'm going to read you the statement and getting to it. They had previously endorsed it. Now they released this statement slamming it. Why was Chuck Schumer waving the commie flag? This is kind of a weird thing. I don't know if you saw this, but there was a story of him holding a flag of communist China. And for some reason, everything sucks today and I can't even open it. Let's see here. Yeah, he was at a press conference. This was something. It's a photo from a year ago that's like making its rounds. And so we kind of already dragged him over this, but it's making the rounds again, just FYI. Apparently, Kristi Noem reportedly met with Trump at Mar-a-Lago to continue going on with the VP stakes. Iran has enough enriched uranium to apparently make 3 nuclear grade weapons. Yeah, good job with that Iran deal. We had a really good job with that Iran deal. Yeah, there you go. Let's see. The ceasefire, the ongoing discussion. Apparently, Israel and Hamas have been having ongoing discussions about whether or not they're going to have a ceasefire. That apparently, I guess we're going to have a decision by Monday. I don't even know why it's taking this long. There was a ceasefire. Israel had a ceasefire on October 6th. We have more on the way, including deep diving into some of this latest with immigration. Also, we're going to have a government shutdown by Friday, and I kind of hope it happens. Stick with us. Have you seen any of those viral videos, the ones that show aisles stacked with emergency food supplies in stores? It kind of makes you wonder, like, what do they know that you don't? Well, you already know how I feel about being prepared myself. So why bother with the hassle of stores, which you know just mark up all their prices when you can order directly and save? With Wise Food Storage, you're guaranteed access to delicious, high-quality food exactly when you need it the most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com and enter code Dana in the search bar to unlock exclusive deals just for you, like their current offer, the buy one, get one free on their 72-hour survival food kit. Not only that, but Wise Food Storage offers fast and free shipping on most orders. With their remarkable 25-year shelf life, these provisions will be ready for you whenever the need should arise. So instead of endlessly doom-scrolling through all the videos, wondering what catastrophe could be next, take action and secure your food supply today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals. That's wisefoodstorage.com and use code Dana.
Looking for the drive-thru version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Now, the overwhelming number of migrants and asylum seekers that are here, they want to work. I still don't understand why the federal government is not allowing them to work. They need to have the right to work, like all of us that have come to this country had the ability to do so. But those small numbers that are committing crimes, we need to modify the sanctuary city law that if you commit a felony, a violent act, we should be able to turn you over to ICE and have you deported. It is a right to live in this city, and you should be not committing crimes in our city if doing so. Right now, Well, we don't have the authority.
Entering illegally by itself is a crime. And I think it should be a pretty serious one. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this first hour. It should be a fairly serious crime. I was looking at some of the statistics on that. When you compare crime committed by people who enter the country illegally and crime committed by people who enter the country illegally, there's literally no comparison. Because there's a greater, I mean, it's ridiculous. From DHS, DPS, I'm looking at all these figures. It's so much more, obviously, for people who continue to enter illegally. And then Texas DPS data shows separately the number of convictions and arrests of people who are illegal, citizens by way of being born here, citizens by way of coming here and becoming a citizen, illegal immigrants, etc. And the conviction rates are quite different between each group. I mean, that doesn't really need to be explained. It's not surprising either. And this idea that there isn't a law that's broken until someone in the country illegally breaks the law. Well, that's so goofy because that's simply just not, that's a weird way of looking at it. That's an immediate crime to enter illegally. So if you are breaking into someone's home and you're stealing things, when you're entering the home illegally, that's like a whole other separate charge. Unlawful entry is a whole other charge in addition to any other crime committed after you are unlawfully entering someone else's property or some, you know, private premises. That's a whole other charge. I think it's too little too late. And also, how are you going to know until someone commits the crime, the second crime? How are you going to know until after they commit the second crime? I mean, that's my whole point. A lot of these horrific crimes are being committed because you're coddling the first illegal action and that criminal behavior. That's kind of the way it is. It's sad. It shouldn't even have to be said like this. It shouldn't. But in the meantime, the statement from the president was so anemic. They don't take any of this seriously. I was reading another account, and apparently it was a source close to the family, and they said that that the young woman, Lakin Riley, had visible injuries, and it was clearly, you know, blunt force trauma, etc. And they were describing it as a crime of opportunity. The guy just didn't even know her. He's just evil and violent. Georgia, I feel like Republicans are so infuriating because we have a Trump statement compared to Biden's statement was a lot stronger. But I would like to see a visit with the family or going to Georgia and talking to lawmakers or something. That needs to remain at the forefront. Because we can't keep having Molly Tibbet situations. We can't keep having Kate Steinle situations. We can't keep having Jamil Shaw Jr. situations. I mean, it's so heartbreaking. I just feel so bad. Can you imagine I know we have other stuff to hit on, but that hit me, what she said, what Katie Porter had said. Can you imagine being the parent and you hear this lawmaker, or you see a clip, or you see the headline, and your child, or your sister, or your fiance, or your girlfriend, or your wife, or whatever, your friend, is reduced down to just another quote unquote instance. And what happened to her should not be used to influence enforcement of law and Democrats' open border policy. I mean, I don't even know her, and I'm enraged. This is just something else. Something else. Now, I'm sure everyone at this point saw the guy who self-immolated outside of the Israeli embassy. The actual video came out last night. It was autoplaying all over Twitter. But, you know, I mean, it's kind of dumb that the guy chose to do that. If you get this might be mean to say. This is a guy who literally set himself on fire and was
pro-Hamas activist. I mean, when you're out there screaming, quote unquote, free Palestine, it's a fictional country that has never existed in all of antiquity. It's as much fantasy as saying that that country existed as it is saying that the Rachel Levine dude who is with HHS and wants to pretend to be a woman, that he's an actual woman. It's the same thing. Kane, did you see the email newsletter this morning?
I did.
And I did that last night. I set up the image and the caption last night. Was it too much?
No.
Don't show it, Juan. That's the actual dude. Juan, I could immediately tell what he's doing. I'm like, don't do it. The guy, and I don't know if you how much you all have followed this, was in the Air Force, this Aaron Bushnell guy. And he literally set himself on fire screaming, free Palestine, and he like literally like doused himself in accelerant and set himself on fire, and he burned for like a minute before it was actually extinguished, and he was screaming free Palestine. That's what he walked up to the building and set himself on fire. He was a DevOps engineer based in San Antonio. He was in his uniform, set himself on fire. I have so many. He had like two anarchist groups. Apparently he was, you know, of that persuasion. And he posted this kind of stuff, you know, on social media. He was a giant leftist. I mean, when you look at a social media post, I mean, it's not, you know. And I just, what is the point? What is the point of him doing that? It literally accomplished nothing. I put on the email newsletter, well, I guess he didn't see a shadow, so I guess, you know, it's an early spring. When you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. It's sad that this guy chose to do this to himself. For what purpose? Oh, look, he didn't. They had someone in Atlanta, it was a pro-Hamas protester, or they were screaming free Palestine. They set themselves on fire in Atlanta, outside of the Israeli consulate. They said it was an extreme act of political protest. I mean, I don't know. This is actually, Biden's in a weird spot in having to deal with this. They are pushing him so hard on ceasefire stuff because of Michigan, because there is a sizable Arab population in Michigan that is very upset that the United States hasn't told Israel that they can't defend themselves against Hamas. And it sucks that that people in Michigan support a terrorist organization. Just the fact that they were elected and enjoyed overwhelming popularity by the people who elected them doesn't make them any less of a terrorist group. I mean, Hitler was elected too. Doesn't make them any less monsters. I just don't understand for the people who say the ceasefire stuff, again, go back. October 6th, you had a ceasefire. Why did they not want a ceasefire anymore? They had one. So they had a ceasefire. They decided to FA and then they FO, and now they want a ceasefire because they're FOing. It's not how that works. I mean, my entire adult life, we've had to deal with this. We've had to deal with Hamas and terror attacks by Hamas and rockets and suicide bombers and all of this other stuff. I mean, at what point do people go, maybe the problem is Hamas? I mean, I get it. There are people that Biden wants to reach out that are in particular communities in Michigan that just hate to Jews. I don't know. But I mean, get over it. They're not doing anything to you. I just can't stand this stupid. I can't stand the stupidity. Stop it. Dearborn's Democrat Mayor Abdullah Hamid warned this week that Biden couldn't take the Arab vote for granted. And they said that they would vote non-committed. Okay, bye. I mean, if you're going to debase yourself to suck up to a terrorist group in a non-existing country, then that says more about you than it does the entire electorate of the United States. But he's really getting pushed on by the Rashida Tlaib and others. They have this Listen to Michigan campaign. And they got their primary today, right? And so they're telling all the Arab American population to vote uncommitted. So you can vote for other people, but just don't vote for Biden today. And the latest general, and again, this is without Democrats really spending any money, has him and Trump neck and neck, pretty much, and we're definitely within the margin of error of each in Michigan. So he's having to, he's asked for Israel to produce a plan for evacuation of civilians before they assault Rafah. Are these like civilian civilians? Are they the civilians that were housing hostages in Gaza? Are these civilian civilians, or are these the civilians that were helping Hamas build tunnels underneath the hospital? Are these civilian civilians, or are these the civilians that were seen in numerous videotapes of hostages when they were taken into Hamas's custody, spitting and hitting and kicking and punching the hostages, male and female, all on video that is all over the internet? I'm just kind of curious, like, what level of civilians are we talking about here? And also, are these the civilians that overwhelmingly voted for this terrorist government, knowing that they were literal terrorists and that it is in their actual written charter that's published and available on this thing called the internet that a lot of people use to make stupid videos and post on TikTok or post pictures of their godforsaken lunch on Instagram, that you can actually find their charter and read it, and it actually states that they don't recognize Israel's right to exist as their neighbor. I mean, are we talking about the civilians that voted knowingly, overwhelmingly in 2006 for that, and that overwhelmingly supported them for the entirety of the decade plus after? The civilians that not only supported them overwhelmingly, but also supported them so overwhelmingly that they were actually going to erase any remnant of Fatah's control in West Bank? Are we talking about those civilians, or are we talking about other civilians? And why are so many people so rat-ass scared to say this? Asinine. And so they post, they had this, they said that the White House told Israel that any plans they had to construct any other houses in the West Bank were inconsistent with international law. I mean, why are you telling them where to build stuff? You can't even build a wall here. Why are you telling anybody else what they can build in their own territory? They put all these sanctions on a handful of Israelis that they said, you're attacking Palestinians and non-existent people in a territory that's not really occupied, but we're going to say that phrase because we think it scores us points with the Hamas terrorists. I just really don't care about the good opinion of dogs that, like, stick grenades in women's genitalia and cut their breasts off while they're gang raping them. I don't really care about their good opinion, and I don't care about the good opinion or welfare of anyone who supports them. And nor should you, and nor should this our government. Bottom line, as we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, we're all going to have to go buy gold because the world's ending. You want to be able to have, you know, an actual physical thing that you can touch that as a hedge to your all of this stuff with inflation, government spending. The gold IRA field, it can be confusing. And so if you're looking for a precious metals company to trust, it's not easy to do. One of the reasons why I like Goldco is because they make it really easy. They send you this whole awesome kit. It's that walks you through everything. It's a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers, and it explains the whole economy, how gold IRAs work, and they just want to make it easy to understand so you can get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. And they understand too that precious metals ownership is a very important part of your overall retirement savings strategy. They have an unmatched customer service, zero complaint record, first rate service, and there's no pressure at all, no fees either, and you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee. Protect your family's financial future and freedom, and get started today at danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from Goldco and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's danalikesgold.com.
Don't believe the BS. What's next for the Biden propaganda machine? Bidenomics went over like a lead balloon. Ahead of Biden's State of the Union address, he plans to address shrinkflation while blaming grocery store chains for gouging its customers. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States. I think there will be a sizable number of votes for uncommitted. I think that it is every person's right to make their statement about what's important to them. And we know that the Arab community, the Palestinian community, the Muslim community, those are not all one and the same. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of pain in our Jewish community, too.
What do you mean pain in, what do you mean pain in the community there? I mean, I understand the Jewish community, especially people who have family that were killed or targeted or held hostage in the terror attack. That's big Gretch, Michigan's governor, Gretchen Whitmer, who I think is between her and Newsom. Those are the plan B's and C's for Democrats. But she's saying she's talking about the uncommitted aspect that we were just hitting. That's where we're at in today's politics. They're even too afraid to call out Biden or to call out there to say, look, it's a terror attack. I mean, you had a terrorist attack by the elected government of a non-existent country that is colonizing a strip of land there by the Mediterranean. And they are. And you're saying that what hurt feelings are you talking about? Hurt feelings? You're upset that Hamas did that to people, that they started all of this stuff? Because Hamas did. There's no hurt feelings to be had over Israel defending itself. It's hurt feelings over what Hamas did. I hope they all absolutely burn torturously in hell, Hamas, and all the people who support them. I can't believe that you have an entire party in the United States that's being held up. They're too afraid to actually really call out a terror group. That's what this is. It is just stunning to see this. I'm going to be curious to see how this pans out in Michigan, because they're having their primary today, and they're a majority in Dearborn. I was looking at this story. It's kind of interesting. They're a huge voting bloc in Dearborn, Michigan. And that's apparently, I mean, they, NPR credits that voting bloc with helping to turn Michigan to Biden in 2020. And this is why it's so complicating for Democrats right now. They do not know how to handle this whole situation. And then, of course, you know, you also have to handle the situation of the people who are trying to spin it as any criticism of Hamas is, and this is what blows my mind, is a criticism of all Arab. What in the world? Not every Arab supports Hamas. I mean, that's how you had Fatah and Hamas had two different charters, two different belief sets. I mean, it's not much better, but come on. We have more on the way. We have our second hour coming up. And I don't know if you saw this. If you're a subscriber to my newsletter, Chapter and Verse, then you definitely did. Because in Virginia's government yesterday, the lieutenant governor hurt feelings because she called a man sir. We're going to talk about this. Stay with us. Our partners who help bring you free radio. Our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. They want to make sure that you're saving money in this Biden economy. And they also want to give you free activation using code Dana. They offer dependable nationwide coverage in all three major networks, so you're getting the best service in your area without funding the left. And when you switch, you're sending a message that, you know, you support U.S.-based businesses, because they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're founded in Texas. They make switching easy, and they're not going to use your money against you at the ballot box. They're responsible stewards, and they make sure that they support the things that you support. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
I will continue to say our goal is to be competitive. It's always been to be competitive. And if you're getting 40% in all the early states, that's making a point. That's making a point that, look, we are telling you, for all the Republican Party, we are in a ship with a hole in it. You can either ignore the hole and go down with the ship, or you can acknowledge that we've got to look for a life raft. I am telling you, there will be a female president of the United States. It will either be me or it will be Kamala Harris. If
guys, this is not like an award-winning point. This is not a winning point here. That's not a way to. I don't want to vote for that. I don't want that. That's terrifying. Welcome back to the show. Dana Loesch with you, top of this second hour. I heard some of you mentally scream, no, make it stop. Make it stop. I heard you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. And you can also follow along the video portion, channel 347, DirecTV. And you can also, also Facebook, YouTube. Facebook, YouTube is where the discussion is. So that's some of the ladies. They got the primary. She's not going to do anything in the primary today. It's all settled at this point. The only thing I'm actually watching for in this primary is the issue with how what's going to happen with Democrats and how Biden performs voter enthusiasm with Democrats in Michigan, because, you know, we've been talking about last hour, he's been having a little bit of an issue. And we'll see how that goes. But that's really it, because it's pretty much, I mean, it's kind of settled at this point. Democrats can only hurt themselves. It's tough for them to try to navigate that, because this is what happens when you make yourself beholden to identity politics. Because now you're at the mercy of identity politics. It's the truth. So I wanted to get in. I got to set this up. I was switching gears here. Speaking of identity politics, I wrote about this last night. And this has to do with Virginia. So you've got some Virginia State Senate. They were in the chamber yesterday. And I can't remember what it was. And this isn't important. I can't remember what it was that they were discussing. But Winsome Earle Sears is the lieutenant governor. She offended the far left because she referred to a male lawmaker as sir. And I think we have some of that audio. 17. Yeah, 17. Audio soundbite 17. This is the exchange.
The senator may state it. Madam President, how many votes would it take to pass this bill with the emergency clause?
That would be 4/5, Senator.
And what would be the exact number for that, Madam President?
Yes, sir. That would be 32.
And then the senator that she said yes, sir, to storms out of the chamber.
The question is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of that motion will record their votes aye. Those opposed, no. Are the senators ready to vote?
No,
of all the senators. I am not here to upset anyone.
Well, this is her response.
I am here to do the job that the people of Virginia have called me to do, and that is to treat everyone with respect and dignity. I myself have at times not been afforded that same respect and dignity. But in this body, and as long as I am president of the Senate, and by the grace of God, I will be treated with respect and dignity, and I will treat everyone else with respect and dignity.
So this is Virginia's Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earle Sears. The people she offended were the trans activists, because she referred to a male lawmaker as sir. And the male lawmaker in question is Democrat Danica Roem, who identifies as a female and is an elected member of Virginia's Senate. And when he was referred to as sir, and you could tell, the public radio in Virginia, you can tell that these are like the remedial, singular brain-celled products of cousin-loving incest, because they characterize this as, oh, well, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, she said it with, they try to act like she put emphasis on the word sir. Now, you heard it. I played it for you. I listened to this audio several times. She was literally looking at papers and the votes coming in, and she is just... she's talking, hearing from different senators and like going through, she was too busy doing her damn job to sit here and try to, sir. She just said, yes, thank you, sir. That's it. That's all she did. That's people trying to, they're trying to bully this black lieutenant governor and trying to make her bend the knee. And I noticed it was a bunch of chubby white, progressive beta, probably not even baby girl boys that were writing about this at Virginia Public Radio. Yes, I'm making fun of everyone because they absolutely deserve it. So you had the senator storm out of the chamber, right? And then Democrats who control the Senate, they halted all business. They halted all business. And they were trying to make Earle Sears apologize. And she says, we're all equal under the law. I apologize. And I would hope everyone would understand. There's no, she didn't actually apologize. And Rome wasn't owed an apology either. Who are you to sit here and demand that a woman bend a knee to you, sir? You know, women Republicans supported this. This is why I always say the patriarchy is progressive. Go and look at who supported women's suffrage and who didn't. Go and look. You go and look and you come back and you tell me who supported women's suffrage and who didn't, because it sure as hell wasn't Democrats. They were the ones who fought against it. They always have been on the wrong side of every issue all throughout history, whether it is slavery, whether it is the genocide of indigenous populations here in the United States, or whether it is women voting and being able to, you know, not have to go to the poorhouse if they don't have any male relatives once their husband passes. Democrats have always opposed that. They were the ones who were out there bullying the suffragettes. They were out there bullying Susan B. Anthony and terrorizing her. It was Democrats. So no, women, because of Republican chivalry, were able to actually have that. I mean, we can be able to have our voices. We can have taxation with representation. How about that? And so, no, we're not going to go back to those days and have our speech stolen from us by the progressive patriarchy once again. No, Rome wasn't owed an apology. I wanted to share with you this woman. Her name is Patricia Stevens. She's a trans activist, and she was lobbying for women and gender studies, which is a stupid humanities course of examination that just complains about men. That's all it is. It's one of the stupidest courses you could ever waste your money on in higher ed. And she said that she didn't think it was fair that Winsome Sears used as an excuse for misgendering someone. Misgendering isn't a real offense. It's a make-believe term that is pulled from the ether by activists who desperately want some sort of leverage in the self-victimization games. There is zero offense in recognizing and verbalizing scientific fact. End of. And the Beta Boys over at Virginia Public Radio, they said that this is how they described it. They go, couching her apology in victimhood did not work. They were actually had the audacity and complete, apparently, self-unawareness to say that they characterized the lieutenant governor's response as couched in victimhood. It's pretty amazing. That's how they couch it. Rome wasn't owed an apology. But have you noticed that if it's a competition between a white man versus a black woman, usually, you know, the Democrat rules win out for the most part. But the white man wins with the left if he's trans. You can be a dude and be as abusive to any woman as you want to. If you're progressive, you can be, especially if you're trans. I just find that dynamic entirely weird. Because imagine if Roam was a Republican, just a Republican dude, and Earl Sears was a female, black female Democrat lieutenant governor. Oh my gosh, they would be up in arms because of the identity politics and party affiliation. But you flip it and somehow he wins the victimhood stakes because he's trans. They were really ignorant to Winsome Earl Sears when she was running. Just the horrible, actually legitimately progressive racist things that they said. And I say progressive because that's where it originates. She didn't owe anyone an apology. There was no, if anybody needs to apologize, it's Rome apologizing to her. You don't get to storm out because someone doesn't affirm your false fantasy self-perception. You don't get to hijack the awareness of reality that we as women have of science and gender. You don't get to storm out and demand that we give up our right to acknowledge reality, that we give up our right to free speech, to affirm your lie. Rome owes everyone an apology. He is owed no apology. The demand of an apology in this instance comes at the expense of a right. the right of a woman, or a man, really, to exercise scientific truth in discourse. So when they tell you, you have to affirm their pronouns. When they tell you, you have to affirm their false self-perception. They are demanding you forfeit a right. And it is a civic responsibility to refuse. It is a scientific responsibility to refuse. It's a responsibility to your own self to refuse. So good on Winsome Sears. And that storming out and acting like a victimhood, that don't work. That doesn't work on me. It doesn't work on most ladies out there either. But see, again, that's a man cosplaying as a woman, playing up the sexist characteristics that he attributes to women. Have you noticed it's sexist cosplay? It's like a sexist caricature playing up these different indicators because that's what they attribute to being female. It is the most sexist theater of what a woman is that I can imagine. Cosplaying as a woman when you're a man. Now we have headlines on the way. And then the Border Patrol Union is now mad at the Biden border visit. This comes days after Brandon Judd, the head of the Border Patrol Union, endorsed the bill that Biden's going there to promote. So I know. I think he's hearing from some of the members. We're going to talk about that and more as we have more on the way as we get moving and our partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee. Caffeinated as the day is long. And if you want strong, bold coffee that'll kick you in the neck, Black Rifle Coffee is the perfect brew for you. Don't settle for bland or mediocre. We're in the United States, and you deserve high-quality coffee roasted right here in America by vets, delivered right to your door with the Black Rifle Coffee Club. And you can become a member and get 30% off of your first subscription order today using code DANA. All kinds of delicious roasts to pick from, and it's delivered fresh to your door with no shipping fees. You never run out of your favorite brew again, and it's affordable. Pick your coffee, your quantity, how often your delivery schedule, set your schedule, and you're done. You can also get grinders, mugs, kettles, everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join that Black Rifle Coffee Club today to get 30% off of your first month using code DANA. Save cash on high-quality coffee roasted right here in the U.S. of A. blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This actually cracks me up. So this was in Scotland, in Glasgow. Police were called to a venue last weekend because furious families apparently spent hundreds of dollars or pounds on the Willy's chocolate experience. Okay, so it was like a Willy Wonka like factory thing. You think it sounds cool, right? Like there's a lot of cool stuff you could do. It was organized by House of the Illuminati. They promised an immersive experience based on the film. And they promised giant mushrooms, candy canes, chocolate fountains, and dancing Oompa Loompas. And then when families turned up, they discovered a sparsely decorated half-empty warehouse with some plastic props, a bouncy castle, and backdrops pinned on the walls. And there was also apparently like a very deflated-looking, fully grown woman who's dressed as an Oompa Loompa who was like serving stuff from behind a bar. That's pretty much all it was. That's like, and they actually had to shut it down like halfway after it started. Because, not even halfway after it started, because people were so mad over it. I mean, yeah, if you're, you know, spending that kind of money, I mean, my gosh. Let's see, Alec Baldwin's trial date for the shooting death, because remember, he shot and killed his cinematographer, is expected for this summer. They say it's going to last 9 days. It's for the Rust shooting, and it's coming sooner than he might expect. And it's going to go on, yeah, about 10 days. It'll kick off on July 10th. And so that should be interesting. I think he actually thought he was going to walk on this. Warring Mexican cartels are wiping tourists off the face of the earth as they start to move into resorts. Now, I was reading there was like a shooting that took place. It was a cartel war that was in Tulum.
That's it was like right in Tulum, which was like really popular with tourists. And there's apparently like a lot of archaeological sites to visit. Now tourists are being told not to go to those. But Mexican drug cartels, they're trying to assert dominance over an 80-mile stretch of territory, which unfortunately includes a lot of resorts. And yeah, so Tulum, I think like the whole Quintana Roo area. I don't know, just a little sketchy right there because of that cartel war. A man bit an officer's leg after he stole a car at a Walgreens. I thought it was this was a dog story at first, but it's not. It's an actual full-grown dude. It took place in Nebraska. Cops showed up to a Walgreens. A 26-year-old named Michael Dixon had stolen a car, left it running, crashed into all kinds of other cars. They struggled. He bit an officer in the leg, so he got an additional charge for that. Stick with us. We got more in store.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you give us a sense of when you think that ceasefire will start, sir?
Well, I hope by the beginning of the weekend. I mean, the end of the weekend. At least my national security advisor tells me that we're close. We're close. It's not done yet. And my hope is by next Monday, we'll have a ceasefire.
Okay, thank you.
So this was Biden responding to reporters who were asking him about the potential of a ceasefire. And Hamas was like, uh-uh. Hamas said, no, there isn't one. We're not anywhere in the territory of an agreement. That's what they told him. I mean, he's audio somebody three. He kept doing it. He kept like, Listen to this one. He's talking on behalf of Israel.
There is a path forward with difficulty, but here's the path forward. Look, first of all, the hostages being held must be released. And if we've got at least a principle agreement, there'll be a ceasefire while that takes place. Ramadan's coming up, and there's been an agreement by the Israelis that they would not engage in activities during Ramadan as well, in order to give us time to get all the hostages out. That gives us time to begin to move in directions that a lot of Arab countries are prepared to move in. For example, Saudi Arabia is ready to recognize Israel. Jordan is Egypt.
No, they're not.
There's six other states. I've been working with Qatar. And the bottom line is that I think the only way Israel ultimately survives, and I make no bones about it.
He's lying his butt off in this soundbite. He is lying. He's lying about Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia, their foreign ministry, said explicitly in a statement that they are not going to have any kind of agreement. They're not going to have no diplomatic relations at all whatsoever with Israel unless Israel recognizes a quote unquote non-existent state that's never existed in all of antiquity, a Palestinian, quote unquote, Palestinian state. Now, that state comes with Hamas as its elected government. That's not going to happen. And they want, and Saudi Arabia is dictating, they're trying to dictate terms. Now, here's the problem. The elected government of the state that Saudi Arabia wants to be recognized as its own entity refuses to recognize Israel as its own state. Saudi Arabia didn't say anything about that in their statement. So do you see how this is a stalemate? Biden is lying. He thinks you're too stupid to pay attention to stuff like this. Furthermore, the problem is made worse when Hamas has said, no, there's not any kind of agreement or anything in place. Hamas doesn't want to do anything unless Israel fully withdraws. And Israel cannot afford to keep any remnant of Hamas in place to engage in more October 7th style terrorist massacres. They can't. I mean, they had a ceasefire on October 6th and Hamas violated it, just like the ceasefire they had before that and the one before that and the one before that. So they're lying about this entire situation. And this is Biden trying to tread water and get Michigan on board, make it look like, again, triangulation, make it look like he's appealing to both without actually really doing anything. Because they really can't pressure Israel all that much. And why would you? That would be like somebody pressuring the United States in the wake of 9/11, or don't be so mean to Japan after Pearl Harbor. It's no. But this is about him and his success, not just, you know, with the primary,
but to not be run out of his own party, more so than it is about Israel or anything else. I mean, it's you can't sit here and demand that Israel basically that they commit seppuku to make it more convenient for your reelection. You can't demand that. And that's what Biden's actually trying to demand. And they can't do that. And none of these other countries, if Saudi Arabia thinks that Palestine, which is non-existent and has never existed, should exist as a state, they should have no problem taking in some of those refugees, huh? Ask them why they haven't. Why isn't Saudi Arabia taking any of these refugees in? You know, they think they should be their own state and all. Why haven't they taken any of the refugees in? Don't you think that you should be able to demonstrate a willingness to accept refugees from your own neighbors in that particular part of the world of which the Arab League is responsible before you start dictating terms to the people that they committed a terrorist attack against? I just feel like that, you know. I just feel like that. Don't you think that at the very least they should demand that the government that they want to keep existing recognize its neighbor to the north if they expect to be recognized themselves? But see, Saudi Arabia didn't actually include those details or that request in their initial demand about recognizing the existence of a state that's never existed in all of antiquity. They didn't do that. That's why I think it should be disregarded as not a serious proposal, nor should any proposal from any other country that makes such a stupid suggestion and then also refuses to take itself any refugees. So Hamas was like, oh, Biden's comments are premature. I mean, he's allowing himself to be made look stupid by terrorists who stole pipes for the water supply to turn into bombs. Like, those people he's allowing to make him look goofy. And I think part of this is because the people advising him, they're at odds with each other. They don't know how to deal with this situation. It's tough for them, and everyone's trying to kiss Michigan's butt. They're trying to keep Dearborn's population happy. At the expense of what? World peace? This is so stupid. Israel, you shouldn't expect a country that has been attacked to not defend itself and then recognize the government that literally has as part of that's. And that's the reason why Hamas was more popular than Fatah. Because Fatah, I mean, it's the lesser of two evils, I guess. It's just such a lame way to put it, but at least they were prevailed upon to recognize Israel's right to exist, where Hamas said, pound sand. It's not going to happen. And they enjoyed immense popularity. That's why they suspended elections in the West Bank, because Hamas was going to take over. I mean, they kind of have already, just, you know, not a formality is the election. They didn't want to be run out. So the problem is not, look, if Hamas wanted peace, all they would have to do is stop murdering people and lay down their arms. If Israel laid down their arms, they would get obliterated again. That's all there is to it. So he's lying. I can't believe he said that about Saudi Arabia. I cannot believe he said that on national television. On what's his face? Who's that guy, Seth? What's his face?
Myers.
Yeah, that guy. The Great Value version of Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Right? He's like the less funny Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't believe that he just lied about that. I mean, they literally said no Israel ties without recognition of Palestinian states. Maybe he confused them because the agreements establishing relations and recognition of them, that it's the Arab, the four of the Arab League countries. It's Bahrain, it's UAE, it's Sudan and Morocco. Those are the Arab League countries that have recognized their existence and right to it. So that's it. But that was from their top foreign minister. He said this on January 6th. So Biden's lying there. Someone needs to brief him. He's lying or he forgot. Or do you honestly think, come on. He thought that Sisi was the president of Mexico and that the southern border was like over by Egypt. He's all confused. And do you think he knows the Arab League countries that have actually, no, he doesn't. To him, there's too many. I don't know. That's just the situation. This is wild. All right, a couple of other things. Kane, you don't play video. Well, you do. You never played Borderlands, though, did you?
No, I never did. I did see it played, though, plenty of times.
This, I was watching. They came out. If you haven't played it, It's a horribly woke game that got woker and dumber. And it wasn't super bad until like the last iteration when their main good guy character was a rainbow unicorn literally called Butt Stallion. And it's like a company that's based in Texas and they're super far left. But it was really cool gameplay. I mean, it was like, you know, an open world. It was really, you know, really cool gameplay. And we were having this conversation in our household the other day because Borderlands, imagine Occupy Wall Street and Hamas coming together and ruling the desert. And that's Borderlands. Like, that's kind of what it is. Like, it's this. They and Kate Blanchett's in it. And I was shocked, actually, that Jamie Lee Curtis. The biggest thing that shocked me was Kevin Hart's casting in this film. Because Kevin Hart, I played this game. And it was, you know, it was fun until it got super woke. But basically, you go in and you're part of a crew and you got you're fighting against these, like, I mean, they're like domestic terrorists. You know, these Borderlands, they're like domestic terrorists, essentially. And little factions of terror groups. And it's like space age, etc. And you can hop to different planets and things like that. But this guy Roland, the character, he's like this big, you know, special ops dude. And Kevin Hart plays him. And I love Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart's one of the funniest people ever. He could just literally read ingredients off a mac and cheese box and he would make it hysterical and I would laugh to death. But I cannot see him in this character because Roland is like a serious, serious dude. He's very serious and he's stoic and he's huge. And then I see all these, I was watching the trailer and Kate Blanchett's character, she plays this character Lilith, towers over him. But I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's going to be, I think if they make it as woke as the game, it's not going to get, they're not going to, I think Tiny Tina is too old. The chick who plays Tiny Tina in this game is way too old. But I think if they make it like the game was, they're going to lose people because it's going to be so woke. I don't think people understand. This video game was woker than any film. The last iteration of it, the Tiny Tina's like Wonderland Adventure or whatever, was the wokest stuff I've ever seen. And then one of their nights was trans. I'm not kidding you. Like, I stopped playing it. I'm like, I can't even deal with this. It's the gameplay's fun, but I can't. But if they make it anything, and Jack Black's in it, anything like the game, it will be woker than anything that has ever been on film. I don't see anything that's woker than this. So we'll see. I don't know. But I don't know if I'm going to watch it. Gina Gershon's in it. She's fantastically cast. I think Jack Black's a good cast. Kate Blanchett, I think, is well cast. Kevin Hart's great. I'm going to see how that goes. But you're familiar with it, though, Kane. You've seen it.
Yeah, I have.
I think they're going to downplay all the wokery just to make it more palatable.
I hope so.
On the silver screen. Because it's like, why would you? That's what I understand about a lot of the woke stuff. Like, you're running off a significant portion of your audience that is starved for entertainment, and they would gladly pay money to go see something that's just entertaining. What do you think the Top Gun did so well? Like, the movies that don't preach about this stuff and shove it in your face, they do so fantastically well. And I know y'all like making money. Don't pretend that y'all don't. They're capitalists. They pretend otherwise. They wait until they get wealthy enough, and then they pretend to be socialists, because socialism is the indulgence of stupid, wealthy people. I don't know. I'm keeping an open mind, but I don't know what I think about this. I don't know what I think about the game. But Kate Blanchett looks good in her casting as Lilith. All right, anyway, we got more on the way. I had this conversation with somebody the other day because I'm a casual game player, and I think it's like a Rorschach test how people play video games. Ladies, before you ever marry a dude, play a video game with him. And dude, same thing. You might think it's weird. Actually, go on a road trip with her first. Drive with her or play a video game with her, because all of her worst tendencies are going to come out during those two spans. And guys will come out during. You're going to see how smart your dude is if he plays a video game, how well he can strategize. Okay, one last quick story. Because I was playing Darktide the other night, and I got stuck into a rando group of chicks that were, it was like herding kittens. None of them. Darktide, you have like four classes, and if you have an evenly balanced group, you have to play with three other people. Then your chances of winning, of doing well in the mission and achieving your objective go astronomically up. But if the people are stupid and they can't play their characters well and they don't understand their class or strategy, then it's a nightmare. And I was with a bunch of rando chicks and I just wanted to beat them all. I it was like Leroy Jenkins on steroids with three of them. Then the other day I was in a group with some rando dudes and I'm like, okay, you know, yes, I'm sexist. I'm like, yeah, it's probably okay. It's a dude. It's probably going to play. Oh my gosh. No. And I'm positive one of them was a squeaker that grew up to be a male, like an adult male squeaker with a deeper voice, but he still sounded just like a, he was so mad, like couldn't, had to get revived like five times. I'm like, I am a chick. And I was playing the psyker class. I was a glass cannon. I should not be reviving you five times. What's wrong with you on a four level? What's the matter with you? Anyway, okay.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So I had this yesterday, but we ran out of time because in Florida, there is... Gators, when they run, man, they are terrifying. I don't know if there's anything more frightening than a gator that goes off like a goose. And that's what this is happening at this Florida golf course. Their players are having to dodge an angry gator who has been terrorizing people on this golf course. You know, Kane, what I was looking at on the video that Juan's showing on the simulcast? There is a legit house in the background right there. Right there. All this gator's got to do is just go around that little pond, and he's at that house.
He could actually go through the pond.
He could go through the pond. You didn't even know it. This is why I'm telling you, you cannot trust a singular body of water in Florida.
You see how fast he is?
That thing is, oh my gosh, I don't like that. Don't you? Okay, now, are gators the one that if it's chasing you, you got to zigzag, zigzag?
Yes.
Like, how big are the zigs and zags? Are we talking?
I don't know, a few feet, I guess. A couple steps.
Okay. I was just curious. I did not know that. It was actually, I think it was a Florida
person. I've never had to run
person.
Away from one, have you?
No, but it's like one of those things where I want to know how to get out of quicksand. I want to know how to not be on fire.
I know. If I'm on fire, I don't even think I would think to stop, drop, and roll.
I feel like, yeah, all of the stuff that we learned in school about, you know, stop, drop, and roll. Why? Right. Seriously, sidebar, why did we learn that? I feel like there's some conspiracy shenanigans there.
The best way to
were they expecting all of us school kids to be set on fire? I'm just curious.
It's possible.
Because they don't do that anymore.
I mean,
second thing was quicksand. Didn't you think you were going to be in quicksand a whole bunch? Like you wanted to know how to get out of quicksand, right?
It doesn't happen often, but the chances.
This is what I'm talking about. Do they teach Florida kids how to dodge gators in school? Like stop, drop, and roll, but zigzag, zigzag?
They should.
I'm just saying. I got questions. They have to get Florida Fish and Wildlife out to get this thing. That's how serious it is. A Florida man was accused of breaking into a car at a commission meeting when you have law enforcement there, like literally. And it was the city manager's car that this 33-year-old guy, Mark Byram, was trying to break into. He was so arrested. Stick with us. Our third hour's on the way.
All jokes aside, according to recent polling, this is a real concern for American voters. How do you address that concern going forward as you come up to the 2024 election?
Well, a couple things. Number one, you got to take a look at the other guy. He's about as old as I am, but he can't remember his wife's name.
Yeah.
And, number one.
You can't either. You thought your sister was your wife.
It's about how old your ideas are. Look, I mean, this is a guy who wants to take us back. He wants to take us back on Roe v. Wade. He wants to take us back on a whole range of issues that are 50, 60 years, they've been solid American positions. And I really mean this sincerely. I think it's about the future. And everything, every single thing we've done, I think we've got some good things done. Everything, and they told us we couldn't get them done because things were so divided. Mm-hmm. But I think everything we've gotten done, he's just friendly state he wants to do away with if he gets elected.
What? What friendly state? What the hell is he talking about? This friendly state he wants to do away with, this friendly state. What is he talking about? Did I miss something?
Yeah, we all did.
But him most of all. Welcome, it's Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour, you can listen coast to coast during the radio program. Channel 347, DirecTV. Did he have a point with this story? He was on with Seth Meyers, the guy who is the unfunny, boring version, unfunnier. Jimmy Fallon's funny sometimes. He's funny. I don't dislike him. He doesn't seem mean-spirited. Seth Meyers just seems, I think if you're going to be mean and partisan, then you should balance that out by being actually funny. And I don't think he is. I just don't think he's funny at all. And and what is Biden talking about? Like, do we live in a friendly state right now?
He was literally asked how he gets people reassured about his old age, and then he goes on this tangent proving
that he's old.
That he's suffering from old age.
Let me show you how much I'm not suffering from old age by showing you that I'm suffering from old age. Proceeds to do exactly that. Yeah, he forgot. He was on stage with his wife and he forgot his wife's name. Biden.
Yes.
I mean, there was on video. We talked about it. I remember it clear as day. I don't know what he's talking about here. I've seen Democrats try to do that too. Well, Trump is old and he is forgetting things too. Or how about we just all agree to, like, maybe, is it Gen X's turn yet? Can it be Gen X's turn? What? Why did you make that face? Okay, what? That was a visceral reaction.
They don't want Gen X to have a turn.
La, 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 la. Why is that, Kane?
They don't want that.
There's this meme. Here's why. Hang on. Let me pull this up. I wasn't going to do this, but did you ever? I think I read this once before, but maybe this is why they don't want Gen X. It said someone posted this online. I don't mess around with anyone over 42. They're built different. Their families had them formally trained in something by the time they were two. They had keys to the house by age 5. They could cook full meals at 7, and they were pretty much self-sufficient at 9. They left their house at dawn every summer morning and didn't come back until nightfall and survived all day on water from garden hoses. They might get a sandwich on the off chance that somebody's parents had went shopping. They spent 3/4 of their lives by themselves with a parent, maybe checking on them twice a month. Most of them have evaded at least one kidnapping attempt, and they know 15 different ways to remove bloodstains from clothing. The real FA and FO people. And as Kane and I were talking, we totally did evade. We pretty sure both of us evaded a kidnapping attempt at one point. Yeah, I'm pretty positive. Yeah. And I think that this is like can you imagine having like an actual Gen X person, like a real Gen X person, that they watch the Gen Z. Oh, wait, isn't Gen Z getting it in with the alpha babies? The alpha babies are coming to age now. I don't even know who the hell all these people are. We just stay out and watch everything. Watch, eat snacks, and stare. It's what we do. But Gen X watches the boomers and millennials and Gen Z and the alpha people, whatever, all fight with each other. Because everybody forgets about Gen X. It's the latchkey generation. Everybody forgets it. Even now, they forget about Gen X. It's maybe that's the way Gen X likes it. But Gen X also, there's a significant part of Gen Z that's actually legit, and that's because Gen X raised them. I think some of the old Gen Z and millennials are boomers that had kids way late. That's what I think. Yeah, the Gen X just wants to be left alone, right? They just want to be left alone. They don't want to be bothered. They don't want to be bothered by anybody. They just want to be left alone, just like you left them alone when they were latchkey kids. All those hours, all those days. All those weeks, months, and years. I learned it by watching you. I mean, I think I want to see that. I'm tired of, like, your president's old and decrepit. No, yours is old and decrepit. Yours is forgetting things. No, yours is. Are you tired of that stuff? It's like, who's got the more feeble guy? Look, he can barely walk. That, I just... tired of it all. Although you should not fall upstairs. I will say that. Like, falling down them is one thing. By the way, today's the anniversary of that movie, Fallen Down, coming out.
Is it?
Yeah. Like, it came out for 11 million years ago. It was old when I saw it. Like, I didn't see it in the theaters. It was old when I saw it. Hold up.
It was 1993.
Yeah, I didn't see it in the theaters. I would not have been allowed into a rated R film like that. But, yeah, so there you go. Look at that. It's a real feeling. I'm just going to say it's a real feeling.
Yeah, it is.
So anyway.
I think I'm going to rewatch that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a part of it.
It's been a while.
I mean, at what point were you watching the movie Falling Down? If you're unfamiliar with it, it's Michael Douglas. And Michael Douglas, and he loses his mind. He's fighting with his wife. He seems like he's a jackwagon. Let's not celebrate the guy as like an innocent dude, right? He's going through a tough divorce, or he's divorced from his ex, and they're, you know, they got a tough thing. And he's just trying to see his kid on her birthday. And he just loses his mind. It's like a death by 1,000 paper cuts, and today was the day, right? and he loses it, and he's in L.A. And so everything that could happen that, he gets mad and he ends up busting up this convenience store. At what point, Kane, did you think, maybe that's a little too far?
Yeah, like almost right away. But I think now I would, because it's literally been years since I've seen this movie. I mean, years. So I think now if I see it, I'm going to be like, wow, I really relate to this guy.
Yeah, but
I really think this guy's justified.
Yeah. I mean,
this guy and I can have drinks.
I don't know. I mean, he goes nuts at the end. I mean, wait a minute.
He does.
Yeah. I think it starts out and everyone's like, yeah, I see. I get it. I see that. Like, he gets mad because he's stuck in traffic. It's hot. His air conditioning's out. That starts it. Right. And then he walks. He leaves his car there and he takes his little briefcase and he's walking. And then the first is when he goes to the convenience store. And I think because he was asking about the price of a soda and then he got mad, busted up the shop. And I'm like, okay, that's not that guy's. Come on now. And he gets mad and it's bad. And my first thought was, okay, you didn't need to do that, right?
The customer's always right, right?
Yeah, the customer's always right. But see, I don't think when he was saying he was in the fast food place and he was trying to order breakfast and it was like 2 minutes before the cutoff time and they weren't going to, it's like when you go to McDonald's and you're trying to get an egg McMuffin. And what do they stop serving breakfast at 10? It's like 9:58. And you're like, I'm looking. Your clock says this. My clock says this. It's 9:58. Can I get a McMuffin? And they're like, no, sir, we stopped serving breakfast. That I do get. Oh, I felt that one. Because you're like, it's 2 minutes till the customer's always right. Huh? And he was like being nice at first. This was, okay, the Korean store, when he walked in, okay, I get that. But when he goes in, how many of you have had that similar situation? You know what I mean? It's like 2 minutes. I've been in places where it's like 10 minutes before. Excuse me. And they're like, no, we're breakfast. I'm like, your cutoff is 10 o'clock.
Right.
It's 9:50. I've been tempted to say, don't make me go Michael Douglas on you. But, and then he gets involved with the gang members. Now that I get, you know, okay, they're gang members. There's no sadness there, right? And then there was the neo-Nazi that he meets, and the surplus story goes in there because he's getting shoes, and the guy who owns the place, he's this neo-Nazi. And, I mean, yeah, he bashes his head in because, you know.
Well, it seems like you're also relating to this guy.
No. I'm just saying there's certain things where I'm like, I can't say blanket statement, universal statement that I see every, you know. But there's certain things where I'm like, mm-hmm, right. Yep,
and
you know.
That was my point. Like, I think if I watch this now, and like I said, it's been years since I've seen it, I would probably have a different perspective on the movie.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. Yeah. So he's, and then it's suicide by cop at the end. That's what he does, essentially. So I don't know. So yeah, this was
all to say that Biden's falling down a lot.
Oh, he doesn't even have the wherewithal. Remember, they can't even get him in trouble for the crimes that he committed. Because he's too mentally not there.
Right. Did I say falling down? Because I meant falling up.
Yeah. Falling up. A new movie starring, who am I? Joe Biden. I already got the trailer cut. It's in my head. It's already done. It's completely done. Oh, my gosh. All right. So, Gavin Newsom. I think that Gavin Newsom may have just made another stupid move. I don't know if you've seen this, but Gavin Newsom is, let me pull this up, he's a little in trouble now. Well, I think it could be. I think Republicans should be jumping all over this because Democrats have been trying to make an issue over IVF. And I think have that conversation after the election. But let's focus on this because he was on Meet the Press and she had asked him, and this got, even with myself, got overlooked because everyone was making so much fun of how he was fawning all over Biden. The political version of Dennis from Always Sunny. And the host of Meet the Press, that Kristen woman, she says, do you think there is a week that access to abortion should be banned? I thought there was a dumb way to ask that question. Do you think there's a week that access to abortion should be banned? Like, what do you mean a week, Kristen? Like a random week? Or do you think that there should be a limitation put on it? Like, properly ask your stupid questions. He can't say that, though. I would have responded that way. And he, at first he interrupted her, and then she asked at any week, and then he says that, insisting that late, he said that late-term abortions are a complete canard, and he wouldn't, so he believes, essentially what he did is he is endorsing abortion as birth control up literally till the moment of birth. Where are Republicans on this? Oh, that's right. They're fighting over who's going to run the RNC. Why don't you give us more money? We have flowers to order. Why are they not jumping on this? Democrats could go, oh, well, IVF, whatever. And then, yeah, here's your number two guy in your party right now. Literally endorsing abortion as birth control up till the moment of birth. Because that even goes beyond the sensibilities of moderate Democrats. I mean, you're talking about pulling whole babies out. And that's rough for even a moderate Democrat to get. I mean, even some of the far left Democrats, they can't talk about it, so they don't. Even moderate Democrats, though, are like, okay, maybe that's a little too far. Where are Republicans on this?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm not going to judge, but I just think that if you're going to get married, maybe, you know, you can find better places than the gas station men's bathroom. That's what happened. This couple decided that they were going to get married there because I guess they met there. And it was in a Kentucky bathroom, the HOP Hop Shop male bathroom. Okay. You know, it's a free country. As we were talking about, you know, with falling down, you can do that. Okay. Yeah. All right. Sure, there was a nice scent. A man urinated on an officer's leg during a DUI arrest, says a report. This is in Vegas, of course. With between the headlines I see and our listener Larry sends us, Vegas man is competing with Florida man. It's official. This guy, very questionable hair. It was a domestic disturbance call. Police showed up. This dude had been chasing a woman. When they arrived, they saw a vehicle driven by this guy speeding down the road. They pull him over. He stopped in the middle of an off-ramp. On-ramp. Right in the middle of the on-ramp. Guy stops the car and gets out, right? And, of course, he's a convicted felon already. He's on a revoked license. And as they were taking him into custody, he literally urinated on the officer's leg and the floor. So they were able to process him and get him booked without any further incident. But, this is wild to me. So Texas County has declared a state of emergency ahead of a solar eclipse. Population is set to double from the influx of tourists. People are snapping up $1,000 Austin to Detroit plane seats to view it from the skies, which is wild. Bell County, April 18th, there's going to be a huge solar eclipse. Their 400,000 population is expected to double, possibly triple. And that's because, I guess it's like where they said that the declaration is going to help them plan for the eclipse and protect residents and visitors. Because I guess it's the best way to see that eclipse is they figured out it's in Bell County. Okay. You would travel for that?
I've never heard.
Would you legit travel for that? And a hospital patient kicked the bucket after 9 days without food in a major note-keeping mistake.
What?
In a British hospital. Note-keeping mistake. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. I'll call it that. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, first of all, you're correct. Secondly, the macro story in current politics is Democrats don't lose elections anymore. We haven't lost an election in the last year and a half. And we have an advantage right now, and we need to pummel him right now. And I used to have a saying when I ran campaigns, the more you pummel him, the more they plummet. And we got to jump on this abortion issue. We got to jump on this book burning issue. Run ads to these Nazi hags at school board meetings trying to ban Rosa Parks. Run all of the things, all the intrusive policies. A majority of the House Republicans want to codify the insane ruling.
I got to tell you,
Alabama,
do you think that
Supreme
their producers
Court?
Ask him, hey, is there any way you could like raise your camera? Because it looks like you're probably sitting on the toilet with the up glasses on. And why? I liked him. I know him personally. And I got to say, when I was the token conservative at CNN a decade ago, he was like the one who was actually genuinely consistently nice to me. And he was, he said that a lot, that he was the one who was telling me some of the progressives there were like snakes and they're trying to get the conservatives fired. He actually, I think he plays up his partisanship for television, but he's actually, I know it sounds crazy me saying this, but he was actually very kind when I was there. I cannot say that for every person across the other side of the aisle, because I've definitely met some nasty ones. But he was one that was not that way, I got to be honest. So, welcome back to the program. Bottom of this third hour, Dana Lash here with you. He is right, though. He's telling Democrats what they need to do. Republicans need to be doing, I mean, they need to be jumping all over Gavin Newsom, talking about his support of abortion up till the moment of birth as birth control. They need to be talking about the woman who was killed in Georgia by the person who entered the country illegally and had been arrested twice. Or what about the case of the guy who raped a young girl, who another person here illegally from Venezuela? And here, you know, I mean, he's again another case of somebody being in the country illegally. So that's what Republicans should be all over these issues and focus on this and focus on not the slap fights with the RNC and all of that. I mean, it's just, I don't know. The whole thing is just, it's frustrating. Because the RNC is broke. I will say there's one race. Well, it went to a Democrat, but the legislature, the state legislature went Democrat. I saw this. Let me pull this up. So back when we were talking about Winsome Sears, right? The lieutenant governor of Virginia, who made this dude mad because she referred to him on the Senate floor as sir, and the dude wants to rob you of your free speech right and force you to affirm his fantasy self-perception as a female. And she, you know, wasn't being mean. She just called him sir because she's doing her job and she's running through business. And so this woman, and I'm going to tell you why this is, I found this so entertaining. This woman, her name is Susanna Gibson. And she tweeted, quote, "And this is the woman who wants to be the next governor of Virginia. And how dare you try to sully the governor's mansion with your bigotry, ignorance, hate, and absolute disrespect, Winsome Sears." And I'm like, Susanna Gibson. Because I saw someone just retweet it and LOL. And I'm like, why does that sound familiar? Oh, do you remember Susanna Gibson? She's the OnlyFans actress who ended up losing her race to be a delegate or their state house, essentially, because all of her videos came out. Yeah. She's... yeah. It's awkward, isn't it?
She's concerned about sullying? Someone else sullying?
I am trying so hard.
Okay.
I am trying so hard right now to be... I mean, I guess her OnlyFans isn't going that well, is it? It must not be going real well if she's having to... If she's, but what gets me is that this is a woman who's demanding that this is a female actress on OnlyFans who is demanding that a black woman bend the knee to a progressive white male.
And is she a veteran too?
Well, Winsome Sears. You can't make these jokes up. So she, remember, she had an online audience. I'm trying to be. Proper here. She had an online audience and she got mad at everybody because she put her stuff up online publicly. Like some of her stuff apparently wasn't even behind a paywall and it was easily found by everybody. Just to show you how dumb this woman is. You have to realize that people are going to do oppo research on you when you are running for office. And if you have literally yourself put up your own videos online and they're publicly accessible. No one is because she kept saying they were trying to get her with revenge porn. You put this, you did this yourself. That's like getting mad at Libs at TikTok for reposting someone's videos. You did this yourself, chick. So she got mad and was saying that people were trying to slut shame her and everything else. And I'm like, well, you got one of those words, right? I don't know. The whole thing is just, but anyway, she weighs in on Winsome Sears. Just in case you didn't have disgraced OnlyFans actress who can't win an elected seat on your bingo card. Speaking out against the actually successful female lieutenant governor who can win her seat. In case you didn't have that on your bingo card. Now you do. Just goodness. The U.S. Army is cutting its force by 24,000. Amid recruiting shortfalls, 5% of Army jobs are being slashed in mainly positions that are already empty, apparently. They've been dealing with recruitment issues. They say the restructuring will help the service fight in future conflicts. The almost 5% of jobs cut will mostly affect posts that have been empty and not actual soldiers, according to the Army document out today. They said they're not asking current soldiers to leave. They're trying to build back in strength. Over the next few years, they said most installations will likely see an increase in the number of soldiers actually stationed there. Many of the jobs being slashed are in related to counterinsurgency positions that apparently grew out of Iraq and Afghanistan, but are not in high demand today. They said they're not. They said that they have some cuts from different brigades that are usually used to train foreign forces. Like when we had people in Baghdad to train the Iraqi military, or when they were in Kabul in Afghanistan to train Afghanistan's military. So that's apparently that's what they're looking to do. And they're structured. They said the number of active duty soldiers is about 445,000. They want to reach a goal of 470,000 active duty soldiers by the end of fiscal year 2029. But nobody is going, you know why? Do you know why they're having a big problems? I mean, clearly you've seen some of the recruiting videos they've made recently. Clearly you've seen some of the dudes who dress up as women in full uniform and they demand that you call them ma'am. The rules of engagement, the politicization of wars, the failure to outline an objective, the horrific leadership at the upper echelon that has led to the abandonment in Afghanistan, that led to a really weird ending in Iraq, all of this. I mean, it's been overly politicized. There are several things that should not be overly politicized. How you prosecute conflict, medicine and education, particularly. And those are things now you're seeing what happens when they are. I mean, nobody wants to enlist anymore. And the flyover people who used to enlist, I wrote about this in my book, Flyover Nation. The families that served generationally in the armed forces, the people from Flyover Nation who would enlist, who proudly served, the families that had pictures of their husbands or daughters or sons in uniform displayed in their homes, those families, those people aren't willfully enlisting anymore. Because first off, you're calling all of them toxic. You're maligning their characters, impugning their characters. And you're purposefully sidelining them at the altar of wokery, which isn't about building a fighting force. It's about using armed forces as a social experiment. And that's not what the armed forces is for. I mean, you're reducing your requirements for readiness. You're reducing your requirements for entry. You're risking the lives of our men and women in uniform because you're trying to be politically correct and relevant popular-wise. It's asinine, and DC lets them do this. DC encourages it. DC is culpable. And you wonder why you're having trouble getting people to enlist.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Just to follow on Weijia's previous question, though, we've learned, according to an Israeli source, that Netanyahu was quite surprised by the president's comments about his expectations that there would be a ceasefire by Monday. So that doesn't bode a lot of optimism that one of the key parties was surprised by that timeline the president had set. So why did he say Monday?
I can't speak for the surprise that foreign leaders have or don't have with regard to things that we're saying. The president talked to y'all after staying completely up to speed, and he has been kept up to speed on how these negotiations are going, and he shared with you some context, and he certainly shared with you his optimism that we can get there in hopefully a short order. But
That's a big that's a mess that I think Biden's just created. He's like, well, you know, yeah, we're talking to them. You know, we're trying to get Hamas was saying, no, there's no discussion. We're not even close to any type of agreement. That's John Kirby there, who's they've been having issues with us, with this whole thing and trying to keep the president on track. I mean, I wonder if they were cringing when he was doing that interview with Seth What's-His-Face, and he's, you know, saying this stuff that it's completely contradictory to existing fact, either with Saudi Arabia or with the ongoing discussions with Hamas and Israel. So, I mean, I don't know. It's like, well, you know, did he a ceasefire by Monday? So, why? I mean, if there's not going to be, because Netanyahu said he was surprised, then why? Out of anybody who would be able to speak to it would be John Kirby.
Right.
So why can't he speak to it? Right? That's so weird. Why? Why can't he speak to it then? If anybody could, it would be him. I don't know. I got a lot of questions, Kane.
Oh, yeah.
I got some questions.
Me too.
So it just doesn't make any sense. I don't know. I sounds like they're not gonna have one. Now we are going to have one of the things that we do know is that unless they can remember how I told you they're kicking the budget battle. This was this back before Christmas? Yeah, it was. When they had the last border or not border, when they had the last budget battle. Yeah. Before the government shut down, they averted it. But they averted it in that they passed a continuing resolution just to maintain the existing level of funding. And then it went on from there. I got some questions because now we're back here at the same place that we were, as I told you. And unless they get some stuff situated now, but wait, isn't when is Congress isn't supposed to go back till next week?
Yeah.
Because they're on a recess right now.
Yeah, the House is. Yeah.
Huh. Till after next week. So, okay. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting indeed. All right. Well, we'll see. Because we're going to have a shutdown. It's looming. I mean, and I'm actually okay with that. I think that, you know, Speaker Johnson says he's optimistic that they'll avert a shutdown. He says that they're committing to doing it. They apparently were meeting earlier today with Biden. House leaders were. He said that we believe that we can get to an agreement. I bet they're just going to pass another CR. That's all they're going to do. That's all they've been doing. It's a partial government funding deadline is what it is. So that's what's this Friday is a partial funding deadline. And you have 12 annual spending bills, of which four of them are come due. And I think the other ones are sometime in March. I think there's like seven or eight. The other ones are sometime in March. So they were hoping the Senate, people in the congressional leaders wanted to be able to showcase what their spending measures are going to be over the weekend. But apparently they hadn't yet reached an agreement. I'm all right if the government shuts down. I don't care. I think it's too much anyway. It's too big. It's too big anyway. So I'm okay with that. I mean, I don't know how this one is going to be any different. I mean, they have just days to pass something. And you're going to have like essential offices are still going to be open and working, but anything that's deemed to be unessential will not. I classify a lot of government that way.
Yeah.
So again, I'm okay with that.
So why don't we just take the unessential stuff and just close it down instead of just shut it down and then bring it back later? Let's just close it down permanently.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I am actually totally all for that. Do you remember back when Barack Obama, under Obama Biden, they shut the government down and Republicans were not going to commit to more spending and the federal government demanded that they put barriers in front of national parks and outdoor public areas? Like you literally, they weren't going to allow you to go into the park to look at the trees or just like be in a public area that your tax dollars pay for. Like, you already paid for that with your tax dollars. It's yours. Asinine. All right, today's stupidity, Kane.
Ooh, all right, and Juan, you can probably play this one. This will be cut 23. Secretary Janet Yellen is telling us that inflation is falling and they're expected to continue to fall, which none of that is true. Listen to this.
Over the past year, global growth has been resilient and stronger than predicted. The IMF and other forecasters projected that there would be a broad-based slowdown in the global economy in 2023, and that didn't happen. Global growth came in at 3.1%, exceeding expectations. Inflation has fallen and is expected to continue to fall this year.
Just like the Fed said, they're going to be lowering rates this year. So far, they haven't been able to do it. My suspicion is they're going to have to raise it.
Yeah, there you go, folks. That does it for our program today. Make sure to find us on Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe, as well as Substack, Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. Have a great night. I'll be back with you tomorrow.